I'm so glad Sony, like, said, you know what? We're going to cut it. But I'm really pissed that the CEO doesn't understand why people don't like it.
No.
I think it's okay. I think the fans just want too much.
No.
No, bro.
You're not putting enough effort into it.
We want the basic minimum.
Put the effort into it. Like, how hard is that?
Apparently really hard. Since Rhino be like... Some...
Have you seen that little...
No.
Oh, well, now you got to. Yeah. Well, all right, here we go. I'm going to start right at 5, okay?
Yep. All
right, we are going in. We are going in. 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I am your host, Anthony King, and of course with me is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards. How are you guys doing tonight, man?
Pretty good. Pretty solid.
Pretty solid, man.
Solid.
Yeah. Damn, I like how you didn't waste any time. You just skipped right. Wasn't going to waste any time with my bullshit. Just
yeah, like... no. Fuck you, man. Fuck you. I took advantage of you writing that sticky note just to move right back. You got distracted. You lost your chance, man. You ain't fucking us this time.
The window was open as I was talking. It was your chance.
Yeah. I was like, Michael, anything? Nope. Okay. Anyways. Right. Back to our main topic.
Fuck.
Are you guys doing good, man? Are you...
Pretty good. Pretty solid week.
Yeah. That's it. That's all you got. Yeah, nothing to say with the more fire surrounding us. Dude, they're going to San Diego too. They're in LA. We're surrounded by flames.
Yeah, but where we live, we're kind of used to it, unfortunately.
Yeah,
it's just Tuesday now to you.
It's just that one particular area where we live at. It's not necessarily California, but where in California we live at.
We're literally just surrounded by fire, like just surrounding us.
It's a yearly thing where we get those warnings. It's like, I'm not saying we don't feel bad for it or we, you know, but it's just Tuesday.
Yep.
No, it's weird. It's like, yeah, we have your LA fires. Then we have our San Diego fires. And some reason we just got one weird fire right in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like we even had a fire like 2 exits down.
Oh, that's yeah. I was actually there for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was like an evacuation order.
Mm-hmm.
Or that side of the freeway on the 215.
Yeah.
I didn't see nothing.
We were on the way to pick up Adrian. And yeah. All of a sudden, we're just like on the side of the freeway. We're like, what's all that fucking fire? Oh, shit. That's a building on fire.
The fuck?
Just out of nowhere.
I honestly thought it was the detention center.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I was like, oh, shit. They're burning it down? Damn, people are quick.
Yeah, but damn, yep.
Like, is it just people like wanting to have a bonfire and they're like, oh, that's right, Santa Ana wins.
I mean, even seeing the people's crazy talks, they're like, oh, it's a conspiracy theory, man. It's like, have we been noticing the haze going around, the extra fog? Maybe that's what's causing the fires. What's the government putting into the chemtrail? Yeah, yeah, it's getting to that point now. Yeah,
fog is causing fire.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard the government doing it. The government's doing it with lasers. The government's doing it with satellites. So far, my favorite conspiracy theory is that the fires were started to hide the Diddy tapes. As if the government, if they had it, they already took it.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, no, they're trying to hide the tapes. You mean the thing they're rated for?
Yeah.
The things they already have in possession?
Yeah.
They already got it. Like, what the fuck do you think they have? What do you think this is, like, some one-piece treasure? Where it's like they're just scattered throughout? If you want my sex tapes, you gotta find them first. I left everything I own in LA County.
Yeah, I like. Yeah, top of this guy owns.
I'm the most ghettoest one piece ever.
Don't do it, Mike. Don't do it. I know you're.
Since then, conspiracy Diddy theorists have searched for the great Diddy tapes. Who's going to be your One Piece crew to find all the tapes? Collect them like the Dragon Balls.
Oh, shit. I think it's time we need to jump into this film news.
Because,
we're getting really off topic now. So let's just get this started. First thing what we have here, The Brutalist has come under fire for the use of AI. This is actually pretty interesting because this is now... putting more into the limelight of industry practices that have already been kind of going around for like the at least like the last 10 years.
Yes.
But this one really caught people's attention because the person actually came out. So the movie editor, David Jansko, he actually came out and admitted it that he had to use AI to change some of the voice actors' speech patterns.
Yeah. It was like a candid report.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about this? Because we've known that stuff like this has already happened for a very long time where you have to revoice over dialogues, change pitches to certain tones, musicals, movies, you know, to match certain person's voice. You're going to have to do some subtle changing.
Yeah. No, it's a common practice, obviously, to, you know, like I said, change out tones, equalize it, you know, add either what's it called, compress it.
Like, there's always been tools like that.
Yes.
Is there any difference, in your opinion, why it would be different using AI tools this time instead of practices people have been doing manually?
Well, this part gets a little tricky because he says that he used it to fix certain dialect, certain verbs, certain words to make it sound really, you know, was it Hungarian?
Hungarian.
Yes. Yeah. How often did he have to use it? Was it like for only a few sentences or for like 90% of the dialogue?
So you're worried about the extensiveness of how much it needed to be.
Because it
used.
Is a tool when it's like, okay, we need to fix up this one scene or this one day he was really off, so let's just fix it up.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That unfortunately, that happens. We're not perfect. These things, film sets take, you know, months at a time. Mm. And you're not going to have day-to-day consistency, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So there'll be one day maybe he's off and like, okay, we'll fix up then. Mm. But if it's the entire film, okay, then that's a little...
Yeah, like, how would you feel, like, now having these AI tools where you can completely switch someone's speech patterns to something completely different? Like, hey, you don't need to put in the effort for a French accent because we can have AI to do that for you. Just say your lines.
But then that gets worse into the, we'll fix it in post.
Yeah, it does. It does lead that into it. So does that worry you where we will eventually start going into that lazier territory because we have the AI tools? Would that ruin the authenticity of actors playing specific roles then when they're really acting?
Yes, because then you're going to have a clear distinction between stage actors and film actors.
Yeah.
Because stage acting, there's no hiding.
You can't hide it. Yeah.
There's no hiding it. So unfortunately, I think you'll divide that much in bigger when you have stage and, you know, actors, because there'll be ones who have no acts, just have a straight American accent and they're just, make it British. There you go.
That's true. But it really does make me think exactly what is the appropriate amount of how you're supposed to use these AI tools. How much is too much?
I mean, for right now, what's happening with what's the other one?
Who's the other? The one
Amelia Paris?
For the movie Amelia Perez. Yes. They also use it for an actress, Carla Sofia Gascon, who also used AI to enhance her voice for singing, but used it in a way to where enhancing their singing potential exponentially further than what they were able to do already.
So is that like pitch adjustments? Like, hey, she can't hit this note, so we're going to change the pitch so she's hitting the notes we need her to hit. Is that what they're doing with that?
Probably. I don't. That's so far only the extent of what has been said.
But like I said, that's, again, it could be one of those things where, like, it's just helping out once in a while. I guess it's okay, but would it be okay if...
Oh, see, like, here in an interview with Screen Rant, Carla Sofia Gascon used her voice that was blended with French pop star Camille, who co-wrote Amelia Perez's songs and scores, right? And in an interview with Screen Rant, she said that performing the songs in Amelia Perez were all a challenge for me because I'm not a singer. I'm not really a singer. It's not my thing. So using another person's voice and then using that as a way to enhance her vocal range that she can't not do. She's saying she's not a singer.
Got it.
But unfortunately, that's been done in Hollywood since forever.
No, that has been.
Somebody else has sung your voice.
Like I said, people are worried about it now because they hear the phrase AI being used when we had analog tools to do this for a very long time. Yes. My point is, like, that's going to happen with, like, movies with pitches and singing. You know, actors can't sing, so let's just use AI tools to adjust that so they can sing. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are going to complain, like, oh, why didn't you just use a musician or, like, someone who could sing, but they need to act at the same time. So yeah. I do get that. My main concern is when you actually have character roles where you're playing a foreign character from yourself mm-hmm. that you need to give a specific accent or dialect.
Well,
will it be okay to fully use AI
to
change that?
They worked for the Adrian Brody movie, the Brutalist. They worked mm-hmm. with a coach named Tanara Marshall mm-hmm. for months to like work on the accent of
yeah.
Hungarian.
Yeah,
yeah. But they mentioned that there were some letters or pronunciations of vowels of certain words that mm-hmm. were said in a certain way. Hungarian that was very hard to like nail.
Yeah.
To nail
okay,
down.
Okay, then that I understand.
So the use of the AI was to accent a little bit more of those vowels and words of pronunciations rather than just like the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now I get that. That makes sense to do that. I mean, it's just a few words, I guess. But it does kind of take away the idea that these two movies are Oscar nominated.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. They're yeah. Oscar nominated.
Yeah. And Oscar's supposed to be the top of the top. You're the best. If you're nominated, that means you are the best at your craft.
Or someone paid enough.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But it's the whole spirit behind it is that you are the best if you receive this little statue
mm-hmm.
at that one, whatever you name you nominated, that means you're the best at that right there.
Yeah.
But to, you know, unfortunately, like I said, for her voice to be, if it's her voice being nominated,
mm-hmm.
it kind of like takes away from it.
And at the same time, like I said, how much do you keep the authenticity before it really takes away from the magic of the stage play, the performance that they're actually giving? Like sometimes you allow those imperfections to happen.
Yeah.
You allow them. You're like, okay, it's whatever. He didn't get that part right, or that didn't sound a little weird. But that's kind of like what's the beauty of it too. If that makes it art, you do have those imperfect moments, and if you're using tools to constantly take that away to make it perfect, to fix it in post, it really does take that away from the magic of it.
Then you get into a whole Milli Vanilli.
Yeah.
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 I feel you.
And you get into that whole thing. So that's how I personally feel like that.
Yeah.
I do agree, like AI and using it in film, there are specific ways you can use it, and it is a great tool to use it. But yes. when you use it too extensively, or if you use it in the ways it's not necessary for, that's where I start having the problems. Like that speech corrections everything. I don't really see it that much bigger a deal when I see AI is more necessary for like VFX artists to really crunch down algorithmic like numbers and all this other stuff that could be used to really help out other parts of the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm kind of like feeling on this one. But I'm really interested to see how much more this is going to develop in the future as AI slowly more gets integrated in the film industry.
Unfortunately, there will be that one movie that will overdo it.
Oh, yeah. There will be a movie that will be like 100%. They're not even saying these lines anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm actually waiting for that day to see which film is going to do that. All right. Next topic what we have here. South Park streaming rights standoff. Warner Brothers Discovery wins the ruling, clearing a way for the trial. So this is pretty interesting. We talked about this like about a year ago, right?
Yes, it was back in 2023.
Yeah. That's a while. So yeah, Paramount and Warner Brothers Discovery, back then, they were having this big beef over South Park. Warner Brothers had the exclusive rights to have 30 episodes on their streaming channel Max for South Park. However, South Park Studios also cut a deal with Paramount to produce these specials. When they produced these specials, it cut into the number of episodes that they were able to produce for Max. Thus, cut. What season was that that got cut short? It was like really, really short.
It was like,
it was like season 20.
24 to 26.
Okay.
Supposedly, when I'm reading in the article right here, Warner Brothers is claiming that Paramount and South Park Digital Studios, controlled in part by creators Matt Stone and Trey Parker,
mm-hmm.
conspired to effectively double deal on content allegedly contemplated in the agreement by diverting series specials to Paramount Plus to prop up its then fledging streaming platform.
Mm, yeah.
So he's angry at both parties.
No, it makes sense. Paramount but
and South Park.
It doesn't sound like he's suing the South Park Studios. It sounds like the lawsuit was 100% towards Paramount, which makes sense because they're the controlling party.
Mm-hmm. But it also sounds as if like he's mad at South Park for including in that deal as well of Paramount along with Warner Brothers and just kind of like overstretching, like, yeah, I can make this happen.
When obviously you couldn't.
Yeah. Oh, because also the deal didn't specify how many episodes would be delivered to Warner Brothers as part of the agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they said like 30 episodes, but didn't specify how many episodes.
Yeah. Season 25, which is 2022,
mm-hmm.
got 6 episodes.
Yeah.
2023 got 6 episodes. Yeah, that's it. 12. Those two.
So it's just those two ones right there.
Yeah.
They got cut really, really short.
Jeez.
Now, do you see South Park Studios, like, do they announce when their deal or term with Max ends? Do you think they're going to renew their licensing deal with them, or do you think they're just going to 100% move over to Paramount?
I think whoever's got the biggest check.
Because doesn't
that's Warner. Weirdly enough, that's Warner.
Wait a minute.
With our debt.
Because they're not, they have proven that they're not loyal to anyone.
Yeah.
They were never loyal to Comedy Central. They're never loyal to anyone. So to me, it's like whoever has the bigger check.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. The number of times they got fucked over by Fox and they kept going back to Fox.
Yeah. That's true. But doesn't, they're not owned by Comedy Central no more, right?
No.
Are they still owned?
No.
No, I believe they're...
Do they own their own?
I think they're their own. Because everything they... Oh, they signed a deal with Viacom CBS in 2021 for $900 million for over 6 years.
$900 million?
So technically, yeah, if they want to, they can just keep them under Paramount's deal when the whole deal's end. But they do have that long contract deal with Warner Brothers.
Yes. It's whoever... Well, again, it comes down to whoever's going to be paying for the streaming rights.
Yeah.
For the main, which turns out Warner was the one that was in the rights.
Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of saw all along that, yeah, they were technically in the rights.
Yeah. It was double dipping. It was double dipping. Yeah.
It was double dipping, but at the same time, neither one wanted to sue South Park.
Yeah. Because that's the moneymaker right there. No one really wants to fuck with them at the end of the day.
It
yeah.
sounds more like they're just kind of pointing fingers to South Park, claiming that, like, Warner Bros. Is like, hey, you said you would make me 30 episodes and you promised me these 3 seasons, 4, 5, and 6. How come these episodes are falling short? Like, thinking that it would have been like 10 episodes for each season.
Yeah.
When South Park was like, well, you never really specified like how many episodes you really wanted.
Yeah.
So, like, you'll get your 30 episodes, but like, and Warner Brothers is mad that South Park took advantage of the, I can never pronounce this word right, ambiguity. Hey, Siri. How do you pronounce ambiguity?
Ambiguity, pronounced ambiguity, is a word.
Ambiguity.
Yeah.
Ambiguity, not ambiguity. Wait, what did I say before?
I don't know.
Ambiguity. I said that. Ambiguity. Ambiguity.
Okay.
Not ambiguity. Fuck you.
The ambiguity.
Ambiguity. There you go. They were taking advantage of the contract's ambiguity that South Park, saying that South Park decided not to make 30 episodes across three of its newest seasons, and that most of its episodes were not meant to be shown on Warner Brothers, but through the Paramount specials.
Got it.
So saying most of its resources kind of went to Paramount. And then whatever they made is what they made and went to Warner Brothers.
Here's your chicken scratch episodes they made.
That's basically
it. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting to see how this progresses forward and if this is going to affect any of their future deals with Warner Brothers. So I'm actually pretty interested to see how that goes moving forward.
They could probably honestly give a shit.
They don't give a shit. Yeah. They never give a shit.
If anything, it's just more material.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. It's definitely going to add more material to that. All right, going over our last bit of film news before we hit a break. Amazon Prime Video shifts its focus to live sports to boost its profits because they are declaring this year that finally in 2025, Amazon Prime Video will be profitable. No, seriously, it has not. This entire time, it has not been profitable.
Really?
They make profit off Amazon, not Amazon Prime Video.
Wow.
So their goal post for this year for them is to actually make the platform profitable.
Oh.
Well, maybe if they would have worked on the UI to begin with.
Right? It does make sense because now I'm seeing that an annual spending for Amazon Prime is roughly around $3 billion annually, or at least for broadcasting rights to major leagues such as NBA, NFL. And their main competitor is Netflix, you know, with Netflix showing Christmas Day NFL games. They show the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight, no matter how much of a fucking shit show that was, and WWE Raw events.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of skin in the game that they're trying to get. And with NBC Universal even securing the rights to broadcast NBA games for an 11-year deal valued at $77 billion.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. So even Peacock
has. So it sounds like Amazon's going to try to scramble and try to get the scraps of any type of broadcasting sports of whatever's left.
Yeah, from Formula One. And
you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Like fucking. Like
every other streamer is getting like the major, major deals with massive sport organizations.
Yeah. Because right now I'm looking up at
Cricket.
Well, I'm looking right now. I'm on the Polo. Amazon Prime. The Amazon Prime Video.
What if they get just all of the upper elite class like sports, like sailboating?
It's like they have like pro tennis. They have a couple of NBA games. They have a couple of NFL games. Because they have, you know, what's it called? I think it's Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have Friday night and another.
Oh, that's right. Thursday.
Thursday night. That's right. Thursday,
Thursday night.
Thursday night. They have Thursday night and something else as well. But also shows here F1 Racing. Or sorry, that's a doc. But shows shows soccer events.
Does any platform have any exclusive streaming rights to any sports?
No.
Okay.
There is no, none of them have like an exclusive.
Exclusive, like it only airs here. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure it's all separate. Here it goes. NFL, NBA, NASCAR, soccer, PBC, which is boxing, tennis, the WNBA, which is way down the list, unfortunately.
You know?
Pickleball.
Pickleball. Okay.
Yeah, pickleball.
There goes. How is that getting more views than the WNBA? That's crazy.
That's unfortunately right next to it. And I'm like,
everyone's going to watch Brittany Griner, dude. Like, it makes sense. Everyone's there to go and watch her.
Hey, the season's video. Unfortunately, I'm not saying unfortunate, but that league is getting better.
Unfortunately,
that league's getting better.
Yeah, unfortunately, man. It's horrible. You need to
put them down.
Actually, I think there's a, I don't know if I'm right or not, but I think they're trying to form a new women's basketball association.
A new one?
A new one.
Why not just fix the first one?
Yeah, why not just...
Because the contracts are just probably just sealed in too tight at that point.
Probably.
Well, I'll get into that one.
Yeah.
Also, they have squash.
Squash, okay.
Fucking lame-ass sports. You have the, yes, Charles, well done type of sports. Amazon is just too rich and uppity for the, hey, yo, pass the rock type sports, you know? They can't have park recreational sports. They need single player event sports.
But that's how you tap into pretty much how niche markets. When you tap
poor
into
people.
But not even that. But I mean, you get into like multiple, like the world of sports is expanding what's being broadcasted. It used to be just, you know, was it four or five sports being broadcast, which is football, basketball, baseball, car racing, and, you know, whatever, golf, tennis, like it's just very limited.
But it sounds like you're trying to scrounge for everything else to keep up with the bigger place. Like, yeah, you get all these little niche stuff to increase your views, but you're only doing that because you couldn't get the good games that you wanted. Because the other platforms got those good games that are going to bring in those numbers.
Yes, but it does bring in the interest of, like, right now, like I said, I'm on here right now. Let's say you are going to watch, you know, something on the NFL, and it's done. Once the show starts and you start going down, like, well, let's see what else they have, because I'm still want to do something else. Like I said, I'm like, well, let me check out, like, well, squash. It sounds stupid to sound like, yeah, it looks, fuck it. Let me see what it is. And who knows? You might get stuck in watching it, and there you go. Because also they're hoping for that too, where they know it's a sport that's not very popular. Not a whole lot of people are watching it, but all it takes for you to go, ah, fuck it. Let's see what's gone.
I ain't going to watch a D3 college sport. It's just not going to happen.
Nah.
All right. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to look up someone from fucking middle of Ohio City College to watch a game and be like, oh, damn. If only those
What's a dumbass mascot? What's a stupid one? One that you just be like, ah, man, if only the Ohio City Slickers were able to make it this past year. Like I'm not gonna watch it. All right, that's fucking stupid. I'm gonna watch the big schools. All right, I'm gonna watch the Big Ten. I'm gonna watch the Pac-12. Oh no, Pac-12 doesn't even exist no more.
Yeah, no.
I'm gonna watch Big Ten. You know, I'm gonna watch these colleges.
Yeah, but they're also tapping into sports series as well.
That's true.
So not only are they doing live events, but they're also having on here, Eli Manning presents the Undercovers.
Team joining us, the City Slickers. Ohio City Slickers.
One shot, overtime elites. It's there's a bunch of sports shows on here as well. So,
but do you think this is a smart move for Amazon, or do you think they should also focus on what they were working with before? Because, you know, with these new video game adaptations and the television series, they're actually starting to get something good with these going. Do you think they should work harder on keeping those going, or do you think they should divert their attention to the sports? Because it sounds like they're diverting their attention instead of working on both alleys.
I think they should work at both alleys, not just divert completely on one. Because to me, there's still not enough sports on here to keep full interest.
Yeah.
But honestly, I do see them taking that full market, or at least taking most of the market up sports. I do see that in the future.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this develops further and if they're able to get or sign more contracts with more sport teams and get better games. Because that's the biggest thing. Because of how chopped up, especially NFL is, you're just fighting for the teams and the games and the localization regions at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just basically how much you can get before everyone else scoops up the rest.
Yeah.
And at this point, it sounds like almost everything has been taken up, at least when it comes to regards of like NBA, NFL.
Until those contracts are up, yeah. And then we'll see from there again.
Or if they have spring games like baseball.
Yeah, and, that's true. You know, stuff like that.
Have to wait until the season starts. You know, have like another 2 months. About, you know? I have to see what they'll do.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsor, and when we get back, we're going to cover our main topic. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back to you guys.
Here are the film topics that couldn't make it into this week's episode. Starting off, Vin Diesel says that the next Fast and Furious movie is set to return to Los Angeles. Sundance Film Festival has begun, but many attendees this year have moods subdued due to the fallout of the LA fires that forced them from their homes. And finally, the Rey Skywalker movie gets its new writer, the writer of the Ocean 12 and Bourne Ultimatum movies, making it the fourth writer to enter the Star Wars project. And that's all I got, now back to the show.
And we are back, covering over our main topic tonight. This is pissing a lot of people off. It's
pissing me off.
Netflix, yet again, is raising its prices after it's reporting its biggest ever subscriber jump.
Because nothing says, hey, well done for this fourth quarter by getting the most amount of subscribers. Let's celebrate by raising the prices.
So where are the new prices we're looking at now?
Go ahead. Oh, okay. So we have the three tiers. We have ad tier, standard, and premium. Mm-hmm. Ad tier is jumping up from, I'm going to just round up instead of doing the 99.
Yeah.
Because that's just confusing. Ad tier is jumping up from $7 to $8. Standard tier, which is the no ads, jumping up from $15.49 to $18. And premium is jumping from $23 to $25.
Man, so I'm starting to pay $18 for this.
Dude, I'm canceling it. I'm straight canceling. You know, I'm leaning a little bit more towards just Pluto with ads because it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe getting like a cable package of some sort with like Fubo or something.
Yeah. But Netflix has been increasing their prices every year now, right? Just about.
I mean, the last time they rose their prices was 23.
Mm-hmm.
Their chart right here. Yeah. I don't know. The standard with ads is a new feature that they added back in 2022.
It used to just when they broke things up. Yeah.
Yeah. Back in 2011, it was $7.99 for basic. That was just
Netflix as is.
Yeah.
No ads. Mm-hmm. And then 2013 is when they started integrating the standard and premium, where it's just like more users.
Got it.
I guess you could be able to add. So that started out at $9.99 and $11.99 for standard and premium. Basic still at $7.99.
Got it.
And $7.99 basic stayed relatively the same all the way up until 2019, where that jumped up to $8.99. Mm-hmm. And standard and premium had slowly increased their prices every year. And almost as if like they're shifting their price set. So standard went from about $10 2013, following year $11, then $12, then $13, $14, $15, and now we're into the $15.49 range, all the way up to 2024, and now it's gonna jump up to $16.
Gosh, man, it's insane. Yeah. And is there any justification from Netflix on why they need to keep increasing their prices?
Money. Yeah. What justification is there? Oh yeah, we want to bring the most amount of features of live events and sports, and we feel overall that our overall quality of our streaming service and value has increased. So to balance off the offset of content and price, we decided to increase money because fuck you. That's why I'm doing
it. You know, it sounded pretty like nice, cleaned up how you're saying it. That's exactly how these studios do it, companies. Yeah.
That's exactly what.
They'll pretty it up by saying, oh, because we're getting so much more content for you guys, we're going to charge you more, not realizing that things aren't probably actually equating up financially from how much they're actually putting out to how much they're getting back in.
No. But at the same time, as I'm looking at other like streaming services that increase our prices, I mean, it seems like it's just a common thing. Like every year, let's just jack that bitch up.
There needs to be a price ceiling, though.
There it does, because I'm looking at, say, Hulu's last increase was October 2024. Disney Plus, October 2024. Max, June 2024. So it's like all last year, all the services were being jacked up except for Netflix itself. And today, I guess this year is Netflix's turn.
Yeah, there's no clear price ceiling for streaming services. No.
Yeah.
No legal price ceiling.
Because it's a free market.
Yeah, but at the same time, they know that they can only
only go so far before federal is going to have to step in. Yeah.
Not even federal. I think it's more people will like, fuck, it's not worth it. Like I said, most people are at, you know, they're on a budget.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to spend, you know, $80-$90 on 5 different services.
Mm-hmm. But even if people start jumping shit from Netflix and start unsubscribing, do you actually believe Netflix will react fast enough before the federal government will step in? Or do you think they'll trying different tactics?
No.
All like
them,
said.
Every single one of them, they're going to dip their toes in the water. They're going to push until someone steps in. Mm. But I think it's more of people will jump ship before the government does anything about it.
Yeah.
Because like I said, it's only people stick around to a service when there's a good show on it.
Yeah.
And remember, every single time that, for instance, like with Max, once Games of Thrones was gone, everyone unsubscribed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They lost a huge amount of people. So that's why they have to kind of figure out a almost algorithm where it's like keep the shows incoming little, you know, one at a time. Mm-hmm. So keep interest going. But that can only do so much before people start going like it's not worth it.
I mean, overall, this article by Forbes is saying that the overall reaction of the internet is furious. But we're in this cognitive dissonance of need of these streaming services to the point to where it's like, all right, we'll bitch and moan and we'll vent out it on Twitter or X or Blue Sky or whatever. And then once we've vented all out, then it's like, okay, you want to watch something? Okay, let's see what we have. And then just go back to Netflix.
Well, because it has been proven over and over and over again. Remember when Netflix was first cracking down on the password sharing? Yep. The internet blew up. It was all pissed off. Oh, I'm going to unsubscribe. I'm going to unsubscribe. But at the end of the day, they got more subscribers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they know they can keep pushing their customers further and further, and they're not going to even react back. No. It's just going to be momentary reaction on the internet, but they know it's going to calm down. And at the end of the day, people are just go right back to them when they see another show they want to watch.
And so teaching everybody to like switch to like a free subscription or not like a free subscription or free streaming app with commercials
is like pulling teeth because it's like, ah, damn, I want to skip the commercials and it's not going to have a guarantee of what I want to watch is on there.
But you know
you're going to save money.
But at the same time, it's one of those things where, you know, all the companies, you know, they're all raising the price because they're, you know, trying to outbeat one another. Mm-hmm. My theory is if one of them decides to, like, you know what, screw it, just bring it down to, you know, a few bucks lower, mm-hmm. that they're all going to go, no, now we got to get the federal government involved because that's unfair practice right
now. No, it will happen. It absolutely will happen. The minute one person drops their prices, everyone will start suing. That's going to happen. But that conversation and that needs to happen. You see yes. what I'm saying? It needs to be brought forth because if one person drops their prices and everyone's happy about that and everyone starts complaining, that's going to have more third parties stepping in and like, all right, why isn't anyone else dropping their prices?
As well as don't forget that what people also need to remember is a lot of these companies are double dipping in different streaming services.
Yep. Mm. So they're all banking off of each other.
Yes. Yeah. So they're able to, unfortunately, you know, have those inner workings where they all agree to do certain things.
Things, yeah. I mean, that should be a thing. One company should drop its prices so all the other people get pissed off. That'll force the federal government to actually implement a price floor and apply ceiling. You see what I'm saying? It'll be counter yes. to them too, though. Yes, yeah.
It would. But the thing is, as well, is would this also, if they did something like that, would that cover also every streaming service out there as well? Because there are other streaming services that are only offering like $3-4 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It
will affect them all. It'll absolutely affect. It'll be a cascade effect.
Yes. So it's one of those things where you kind of take the good with the bad, where you do have the like these niche streaming services. Mm-hmm. That are offering, you know, oh, for $5 a month, you could, you know, get the streaming service.
I don't like the concept of a price floor. I'm sorry. If you can't drop your prices low enough to compete with other competitors, you're kind of out of it. Like, I know that happens with superstores and how that's how they won. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, you got to do something about this because you can't just keep allowing everyone to keep increasing their prices, increase their prices. Like, it's going to get to the point, like, when Netflix is just going to be $40. By itself.
Yeah, they can go fuck themselves there.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? It's going to get to that point. They're going to believe they're that big.
Oh, no, absolutely. They will. That's the thing that I think they could only go so much before people start saying, we can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I said, that's why cable itself is dropped more than half of its customers because mm-hmm. they can't afford it.
Yeah.
And no matter how many promos they sent me over the mail, I'm not going to sign up for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, like I said, I think it's been proven like most people have only two or three, services now.
Yeah, streaming services. Yeah.
That's all they have. Eventually, it will come down to just straight two and then eventually just one.
Well, when you got like Disney bundling with, you know, Disney Plus, HBO Max, and Hulu, you're going to start seeing like a lot of bundles like that coming forth together. Mm-hmm. So it's going to help people consolidate things. But at the same time, what's going to stop from them when they start getting more people? They got this bundle. We're going to increase the price. Mm-hmm. And the excuse is, well, we're bundling different. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. And then we're going to get to that point where you're literally paying television prices, cable prices, $60, $80. Remember those days?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like you might as well just cancel all your subscriptions and go for a cable package.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, shit, you're literally going to be paying the exact same thing.
And they're bringing ads back, so what's the difference? So
what's the fucking point? Yeah. Got to watch these 6 ads before your movie. Well, shit, just space them out.
Mm-hmm. How long do you think streaming services got before something's going to have to be done? If they're on this road as they are now with every year slightly increasing the prices $1 or $2.
I see another maybe 4 or 5 years mm-hmm. before it kind of starts, it shit hits a fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that.
Yeah.
Either that or they try to bank off some kind of major event and try to put it behind a paywall. For instance, if they try to do, you know, some kind of paywall behind, you know, like FIFA or mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff.
You're already paying for the service and now you have to pay extra fees just to unlock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have to bring back the Paramount antitrust. That's the shit that caused all this in the beginning.
Yeah, that's true.
As soon as that Paramount decree was deregulated,
and that fuck ass lawyer said, "Hey, you know what? This doesn't extend to streaming services. Like, this is only to theaters." And they're like, "Oh yeah, you're right." Then this whole shitstorm began. Short story for everyone who already forgot: the Paramount Decree was a lawsuit that was filed back in 1948 that kept theaters from strictly showing movies at movie theater chains that they owned. Which means if you had to show to one, you had to show to all.
Yeah,
every movie theater had to get accessed. Every mom and pop. And then some fuck ass lawyer decided to come forward not too long ago, mind you, maybe about like 2018?
Yeah, something like that.
18 or so, 17. Decided to come forward and say, "Hey, you know what? This doesn't extend to like streaming services. You know, they can make their own stuff and put it on their own streaming service and
don't have to share."
And you don't have to share. And they're like, "Shit, you're right. All right, we're going to have to repeal it." And there you go. And that just opened the fucking floodgate to like everything
having its own streaming service.
Some bullshit.
Oh, yeah. And that's where we're at today, man.
So the only way we're going to go back is if we have an antitrust like this again. It's because this is the only way it's going to be able to shut down. No, probably even shut down, but it's going to limit the amount of content that they're going to be able to restrict and the amount of money that they're going to be able to make.
Yeah, but it's going to be some time until we get that point, unfortunately. People are going to keep allowing themselves to get abused until they finally hit their boiling point.
I need to ask a lawyer about this. I need to ask a business lawyer. But yeah. Like, hey, what would be the steps, like hypothetically, what would need to be taken for this to be reestablished?
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a long road.
And what would happen? If you know any lawyers out there, business lawyers, ask him that question. What would be needed to bring back the Paramount antitrust law for today's standards for streaming services?
Pretty sure wad of cash.
Like a big wad of cash.
Big wad of cash, yeah. Like what would be needed? And then what would be the steps? And what would be the result of that happening?
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting. Hopefully if we can find a lawyer, just hit us up, man. Just give us the news, the bits, the information, and let's try to get someone on for a podcast episode like that.
Yeah,
can we actually get like a film business lawyer on here?
Yeah, let's look for that. If you guys know a film business lawyer, reach out to us. Send us a message. Send us a DM. Send us an email. Let us know who you want us to talk to or who we can talk to, so that we can get them on the show.
Yeah. All right. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thoughts on tonight's topic. How you feel about Netflix raising its prices? Do you hate it? Do you love it? You can leave a
You said hate it or love it. I said hate it.
Oh, yeah.
I hate it.
You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on a Red Band Podcast YouTube channel for our listeners to discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those who like to watch our videos. For audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on our Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube. And before we fully close out, Mike has those last end notes for you guys.
Yes, as Anthony has mentioned, all the ways you can listen to us, especially watching us on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/TheRedBandPodcast. Look for the screaming microphone and keep a lookout for our audio and video versions of these podcasts of when they are filmed. The videos usually come out every Friday, audios every Wednesday. And of course, the ways you can be able to listen to us if you're on the go, if you're at work, if you're driving in your car, head on over to Samsung Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and iHeartRadio so you can listen to us on the go. Look for the screaming microphone again, and if you have somebody that you know that might enjoy these, recommend it to them, you know, share it with them, and we'd really appreciate that. And of course, our Patreon account, our last version, I keep on saying, and of course, a lot.
And of course, and of course.
Because it's like, of course, we have these things. And as always, we have our Patreon account listed listed below with the link. So head on over there and consider subscribing to our content, because the more subscribers equals more content for you guys. And we want to keep making these, and we really appreciate that. And we're always looking for sponsors. So, hey, if you want to be a sponsor, that'd be awesome.
Shut that fucking dog up. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll let her in.
Yes, so yeah, subscribe to all that. love it. YouTube, listening service. And I know I already went on a rant about streaming services and, you know, renting and stuff, but we'd really appreciate if you would subscribe to us. Or, like I was saying, though, if you know somebody that would want to be a sponsor for us, or if you want to sponsor us, that'd be awesome. Yay! Sponsors. Okay, I'm throw it back to you.
All right, guys, you heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.